Chapter 11. With feverish furt of air, as though not fitly there, I am the baby's mother, this gem of the race the decent fain would smother, and for my deep disgrace I am bidden to leave the place. Where is the baby's father? And the woods afar. He says there is none he'd rather meet under moon or star than me, of all that are. To clasp me in love like weather, wish fixing when, he says. To be together at will, just now and then, makes him the blessed of men. But chained and doomed for life to slovening as vulgar man and wife, he says, is another thing. Yea, sweet love's sepulchring. 1904. A dream question. It shall be dark unto you, that ye shall not divine. Micaiah. 6. I asked the Lord. Ire, is this true which hosts of theologians hold, that when we creatures censure you for shaping griefs and ails untold, deeming them punishments undue, you rage, as Moses wrote of old? When we exclaim, beneficent he is not, for he orders pain, or, if so, not omnipotent. To a mere child the thing is plain. Apostrophe, apostrophe, those who profess to represent you, cry out, impious and profane. Apostrophe, he. Ave me from my friends, who deem that I care what my creatures say. Mouth as you list. Sneer, rail, blaspheme, O mannequin, the livelong day, not one grief groan or pleasure gleam will you increase or take away. Why things are thus, woe so derides, may well remain my secret still. A fourth dimension, say the guides, to matter is conceivable. Think some such mystery resides within the ethic of my will. By the barrows, not far from Millstock, so tradition saith where barrows, bulging as they bosoms, were of multimamia stretched supinely there, catch night and noon the tempest's wanton breath. A battle, desperate doubtless unto death, was one time fought. The outlook, lone and bare, the towering hawk and passing raven share, and all the upland round is called he hath. Here once a woman, in our modern age, fought single-handedly to shield a child one not her own from a man's senseless rage. And to my mind, no patriot's bones there piled so consecrate the silence as her deed of stoic and devoted self unheed. A wife and another, are ends, and he's returning early, yea, the evening next tomorrow's. This I say to her, whom I suspiciously survey, holding my husband's letter to her view. She glanced at it but lightly, and I knew that one from him that day had reached her too. There was no time for scruple. Secretly I filched her missive, conned it, learned that he would lodge with her ere he came home to me. To reach the port before her, and, unscanned, their way to intercept them soon I planned. That, in her stead, I might before him stand. So purposed, so effected, at the inn assigned, I found her hidden. Oh, that sin should bear what she bore when I entered in. Her heavy lids grew laden with despairs, her lips made soundless movements unawares, while I peered at the chamber hired as theirs. And as beside its doorway, deadly hued, one inside, one with outside we two stood, he came my husband as she knew he would. No pleasurable triumph was that sight. The ghastly disappointment broke them quite. What love was theirs, to move them with such might? Adam, forgive me, said she, sorrow bent, child I soon shall bear him. Yes I meant to tell you, that he won me ere he went. Then, as it were, within me something snapped, as if my soul had largened. Conscience capped, I saw myself the snare them the trapped. Why hate dies, and I promise, grace beguiled, I said, to care for you, be reconciled, and cherish, and take interest in the child. Without more words I pressed him through the door within which she stood, powerless to say more, and closed it on them, and downstairward bore. He joins his wife my sister, I, below, remarked in going lightly, even as though all had come right, and we had arranged it so. As I, my road retracing, left them free, the night alone embracing childless me, I held I had not stirred God wrathfully. The Roman road runs straight, and bare as the pale parting line in air across the heath. and thoughtful men contrasted stays of now and then, a delve, and measure, and compare, visioning on the vacant air helmed legionaries, who proudly rear the eagle, as they pace again the Roman road. But no tall brass helmed legionnaire haunts it for me. Uprises there a mother's form upon my ken, guiding my infant steps, as when we walked that ancient thoroughfare, the Roman road. The Vampirin fair, Gilbert had sailed to India's shore, and I was all alone. My lord came in at my open door and said, O fairest one. He leant upon this land bureau, and sighed, I am sick for thee. My lord, said I, pray speak not so, since wedded wife I be. Leaning upon this land bureau, bitter his next words came. So much I know, and likewise know my love burns on the same. But since you thrust my love away, and since it knows no cure, I must live out as best I may the ache that I endure. When Michaelmas browned the nether coombe, and Wingreen hill above, and made the hollyhocks racks of bloom, my lord grew ill of love. My lord grew ill with love for me. Gilbert was far from port, and so it was that time did see me housed at Manor Court. About the bowers of Manor Court the primrose pushed its head when, on a day at last, report arrived of him I had wed. Gilbert, my lord, is homeward bound, his sloop is drawing near, what shall I do, when I am found not in his house but here? Oh, I will heal the injuries I've done to him and thee. I'll give him means, to live at ease afar from Shastonbury. When Gilbert came we both took thought. Ince comfort and good cheer, said he, so readily are bought, he's welcome to thee, dear. So when my lord flung liberally his gold in Gilbert's hands, I coaxed and got my brother's three maid stewards of his lands. And then I coaxed him to install my other kith and kin, with aim to benefit them all before his love ran thin. And next I craved to be possessed of plate and jewels rare. He groaned. Ooh, give me, love, no rest, take all the law will spare. And so in course of years my wealth became a goodly hoard, my steward brethren too, by stealth had each a fortune stored. Thereafter in the gloom he'd walk, and by began to say aloud in absent talk, I'm a ruined man. I hardly could have thought, he said, and first I looked on thee, that one so soft, so rosy red, could thus have beggared me. Seeing his fair estates in pawn, and him in such decline, I knew that his domain had gone to lift up me and mine. Next month upon a Sunday morn a gunshot sounded nigh. By his own hand my lordly born had doomed himself to die. Live, my dear lord, and much of thine shall be restored to thee. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.